All the members of the media, thank you for coming today. We want the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival nationally, and the Poor People's Campaign here in North Carolina want to speak to the issues relating to what this legislature has recently done. The way I want to open this, because I want you to hear from some people. What am I supposed to do with this?
Can you read it?
It doesn't come all the way up. Hold it. We want to hear from some people to put this in perspective. I want to have Rebecca Sears to come and talk for just 2 minutes about the need for health care. I want to have my sister Jade to come and talk about her situation and how it could have been addressed with this legislature and wasn't. And then William Barber III is going to talk about a little bit about ecological devastation and flood victims. And then we want to put that in perspective of what this legislature did and didn't do by focusing on unnecessary photo ID. So Sister Sears, would you come? Jade, would you come? And William, would you all come and take 2 minutes and lay this, make this case? Let's see it.
Thank you so much. I'm Rebecca Cerise. I actually work at the North Carolina Justice Center and the Health Advocacy Project. And what we are focusing on in 2019 is advocating for the expansion of Medicaid, which our General Assembly should have done from the start. It is immoral that they haven't expanded the coverage for hundreds of thousands of North Carolinians, and people have suffered. People have died. There's been also economic impact all over rural North Carolina. My job is collecting stories of people that have fallen into this Medicaid coverage gap, and I've heard some really heartbreaking ones. A young woman who is a mother of five in rural North Carolina. She had a state job, but she then was disabled due to a bipolar condition. Once she started getting Social Security disability, she was deemed to earn too much to get traditional Medicaid. On Social Security disability, you have to wait 2 years till you're eligible for Medicare. So now she is uncovered, having to take care of five children, not covered with a condition that needs to be monitored by a doctor. So not expanding Medicaid has endangered children all across North Carolina. It is just beyond the pale. We are going to have a advocacy day on February 27th this year. Mark your calendars. We are going to have hundreds of people, hopefully, descend on the General Assembly around this issue. So it's a Medicaid expansion advocacy day, February 27th. We want people from all over the state to come, and let's tell our legislators the stories about what it looks like, what the human face is of not making it that healthcare is accessible to the people that need it the most. So let's expand Medicaid. Let's have the legislator focus on the important issues that really affect everyday North Carolinians. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Jay, would you share your story? It's a very powerful story. One of our three co-chairs, our tri-chairs.
Good evening. I stand in front of you today as a biracial, African-American, transgender female who has had five brushes with death due to medical. You all know my stories dealing with my emergency gallbladder surgery, my blood clot, and my five-way open heart surgery due to all of my arteries being 95% blocked. Those issues occurred while I was insured. Now my story of being uninsured. In May, I was contacted by Horizon Eye Care Center. Let me know that I owed $17,000 worth of bills because of my shots that I received in my eyes for March and April. One shot in the right eye, one shot in the left eye for each month, totaling $17,000. I called Blue Cross Blue Shield to find out what was going on with my insurance. Due to receiving misinformation, my insurance had been canceled. My healthcare story moves to June. June, I received the worst case of gout and neuropathy that I've ever had, which had me wheelchair bound for a week while I was in Washington, D.C. Returning to Charlotte, North Carolina on the 25th, I went to my primary care physician. She sent me directly to the doctor, to the hospital, due to the fear that I may have had another blood clot and or infection. I didn't have a blood clot, but I had an infection. I was hospitalized June 25th to July 1st. July 3rd was my fourth brush with death, where I had a heart attack. My oxygen level dropped down to 74%, 90% being dangerous. I was hospitalized from the 3rd of July up until July 19th. 10 days later, I could not move my right arm, my right shoulder. So I went back to the hospital, went to the emergency, was given medication, sent home. 2 weeks after that, I was paralyzed on my right side, where I could not move my right leg, my hip, my shoulder, my arm. Medics had to take me to the hospital. Again, they masked that with medication. 7 days after that, September 6th, I was sent back to the hospital because, again, I was paralyzed on the right side of my body, could not move. When I was hospitalized, the hospital doctor told me this was the worst case of neuropathy and gout that she had seen in 13 years. I also was told that I was a carrier for MRSA. I also had pneumonia. Also, while I was in the hospital, my oxygen level dropped to 69%. I had no insurance at this time, I mind you. It couldn't qualify for additional Medicaid, Medicare expansion, because it was not here. Now, with 69% oxygen level, I was sent to ICU. Normal stay in ICU is 3 days. I was there 7 days. I was hospitalized for 7 weeks. Current day, here I stand in front of you with $400,000 of medical debt. $400,000. While the legislators are playing political games, both Democrats and Republicans, playing games with the voter ID and with the notorious District 9 voter fraud scandal. Here, the games must stop. Healthcare slavery must end. I mind you that the medical professionals told me that their insurance was worse than, was the worst in the industry. They're working. Again, this is slavery. This must end now. In closing, I would like to say thank you for fighting for me. Thank you for fighting for you. And thank you for fighting for a more America. I proudly serve as a tri-chair for the Poor People's Campaign, National Call for Moral Revival. I love you.
Love you, Dave. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Amen. Amen. These are the real stories.
Good evening, and thank you all for being with us today. I want to keep my words brief as I'm standing in as a voice for many of the impacted people with whom we've had the chance to work with in the wake of the hurricane disasters of Florence. My name is William Barber III, and I serve as the Ecological Justice Co-Chair of the North Carolina Poor People's Campaign. And I can say with assuredness that we have witnessed firsthand the level of devastation that many of our communities across North Carolina have suffered in the wake of these hurricanes. Three out of the most impacted regions across our state of North Carolina lie in the 9th Congressional District. Bladen County, Scotland County, and Robeson County. These counties which experienced some of the worst devastation that we have seen. In many instances, it has been called unprecedented for North Carolina, the level of displacement, the level of destruction that we've seen in the west of these hurricanes. For the General Assembly to play partisan games while people's lives have been disrupted is disrespectful to the level of devastation that these families, these individuals, our brothers and sisters are facing. And for them to further implement an unnecessary attempt at voter suppression in the guise of voter ID, further disrupting communities that have already had their livelihoods disrupted by climate disaster, is a blatant disrespect.
That's right.
It is immoral and we must call it out at every turn.
Yes.
And we must continue to demand that our General Assembly prioritize our issues,
yes.
do the work of the people,
yes.
and make sure to protect those who have been most impacted upon us.
Yes.
So thank you. We're glad to stand with you all and continue to fight in that regard. Forward together, not one step back.
All right.
I want to thank these three for coming. My son is a recent graduate of UNC Law School who's here today. This legislature is so out of order, it's almost hard to put it into words. Article 11, Section 4 of the state constitution says that beneficent provision for the poor and the unfortunate is the first duty of a civilized state. We have a special session in the season of Thanksgiving and Christmas. This legislature, first of all, is an unconstitutionally constituted legislature.
That's right, that's right.
That's why the district had to be changed. The people that just did this voting, they are unconstitutionally constituted.
Illegal assembly.
Secondly, they have a fraudulent claim about in-person voting. They've used a fraudulent claim to push then an unnecessary photo ID. And by the way, this same majority, Republican majority, extremist majority, has already been found guilty in the court system for engaging in surgical style racism. The court said with almost surgical precision, and they've not changed. They engage in fraudulent claims. They're unconstitutionally constituted. They push a fraudulent, unnecessary voter ID. And remember when this legislature and others began to push this so-called need for photo ID and other things because of this false claim of fraud? It was after the 2008 election when African Americans voted along with other poor people and other minorities at high levels. North Carolina has been a state since November 21st, 1789. 229 years we've not needed photo ID.
Right.
It only was after the 2008 election when massive numbers of African Americans began to vote that people began to claim suddenly there was this fraud that we know has been proven time and time again to be fraudulent. Same signature attestation was something passed both by Republican and Democrat, and it worked. It was working. The same people who pushed now this photo ID are the same people who also refuse to deal with the real fraud, not in-person balloting, but in the misuse of the absentee balloting process. We have to understand what's going on. But worse than all of that is the fact that we call a special session in the season of Thanksgiving, in the season of Christmas, in the season of Advent. And this legislature could have taken that time to address the needs of poor people and sick people, I got it, throughout North Carolina. 48% of North Carolinians are poor or low income. That's 4.7 million people.
Shame.
49% of women, 62% of color, 39% of them are white people, but actually there are more white people in North Carolina that are poor than African Americans.
Yes. Right.
There are 2 million workers that make under $15 an hour, 49.7% of North Carolinians, almost half, and 79 to 80% of North Carolinians want a raise in the minimum wage.
Yes.
Did they put that on the ballot? No. Did they choose to deal with that in this special session? No. There are 1 million people without health insurance in North Carolina. North Carolina has the seventh highest uninsured rate, 15.8%, in the nation for ages between 18 to 64. There are 400,000 people in North Carolina, almost 500,000 by some count, that would be eligible for health insurance coverage under Medicaid expansion. 30,000 are veterans, 346,000 are white. They call a special session, choose to deal with the fraudulent claim of fraud in in-person voting, unconstitutionally constituted legislature, passes an unnecessary photo ID, no public hearing, but do they expand health care for the 500,000 people? No. In addition to that, we know that in the counties that were affected by Hurricane Florence, Beaufort, Bladen, Brunswick, Carteret, Columbus, Craven, Cumberland, Duplin, Harnett, Jones, Lenoir, New Hanover, Onslow, Pamlico, Pender, Robeson, Sampson, Wayne County, thousands of people could be covered now if they would have expanded health care.
Right. Yeah.
And they need that health care for the aftermath and the effects that will be caused by the flooding and the germs. Thousands of people in those areas could benefit from a raise in the minimum wage and a living wage that would really help them recover. Did this legislature choose to hear their cries? No. Now, they claim they loved them. They claim they had one session and they passed a little money out, but they did not expand health care that could help the people in these counties. They did not expand. What did they choose to focus on? They chose to focus on an unnecessary voter ID bill, rather than deal with the real issues that are impacting North Carolinians.
That's right.
And so the Poor People's Campaign wants the legislature to know clearly we are against it. There are currently lawsuits regarding just first of all the process that was used to put the amendments on the ballot in the first place.
That's right.
Right? The process that was doing. There was a lawsuit filed by the NAACP that said that the Constitution, that the legislature, led by Republicans, unconstitutionally passed this call for constitutional amendments. That lawsuit is filed, and we're announcing today that the Poor People's Campaign is in support of that lawsuit.
Right.
That the whole process they used to put these amendments on the ballot in the first place. We also support ongoing lawsuit challenges to the photo ID constitutional amendment.
That's right.
Lawsuits that are being considered now, and the Poor People's Campaign in North Carolina will sign on to those lawsuits that will challenge the actions that they are doing.
Yes.
We thirdly also are going to join with every group that is going to push this legislature to expand health care.
Yes.
And to raise the minimum wage. You cannot say you are concerned about the people in these poor eastern counties. And we would say to the media, check the voting records of these legislators who claim they love their people in Bladen County, or they love the people from Harnett County, or they love the people from Wayne County or Duplin County or Cumberland County, but their love only extends to a photo ID bill. Their love doesn't extend to health care. Their love doesn't extend to raising the minimum wage. That is a weak, anemic, and shameful claim of love.
Yes, that's right.
Finally, the Poor People's Campaign is currently working on a major, major statewide bus tour and a major march of poor people on this state capitol sometime in the spring in March.
That's right.
Because the one thing that is not going to happen is we are not going to be silent. We are not going away. And we are not going to stop fighting for the 4.7 million poor and low-income people in this state and the over 1 million people who do not have health care. That is why we wanted to come today and have this press conference, to change the narrative. It's not just about the fact that they passed and then overrode the signature of the governor. That's not the story. The story is they called this legislature back into session. It's an unconstitutionally constituted legislature. And instead of all the good things they could have done to help the hurting and the broken and the poor people of this state, they chose to act contrary to our deepest moral values and contrary to the season of Thanksgiving and Christmas, and contrary to our own Constitution that says the first duty
First duty.
Not the third, the second, the fourth, fifth, but the first duty
first.
Of a civilized and Christian state is to provide beneficent provision for the poor, the orphan, and the unfortunate.
That's right.
This legislature is out of order.
That's right.
And we have to continue to fight. We'll take any questions from the media at this time. Thank you so much. If that, yes, you had one? Yes, ma'am.
This is not quite related.
All right.
Any comment from you on the revelations today about Facebook and Instagram and the use of those platforms by the
Russians? Yeah, the NAACP has called for a logout for Facebook. I'm on the national board. We've announced the calling of a logout for Facebook. The NAACP is actually, I understand, giving back some money that Facebook gave to the convention, but calling people to log out as because of our concern about race and racism and many things that are happening on Facebook. We have a problematic in that way. It's very problematic. But since we're here today, I'll take that. But our deeper concern, and this is something else. Sometimes we wish that there was a way, maybe I can put this out as a plea to the media. We wish you all could carry the whole sessions live and the kind of stuff they talk about on the floor in there. Because the arguments that we heard around this photo ID and that people were reporting back to me really had nothing to do with the real pain that's going on in North Carolina. We want folk to get clear for a legislature or a governor, it doesn't matter, to not have an agenda to address the needs of 4.7 million people in your state. And you work harder to suppress the vote. And the same people that suppress the vote get elected through voter suppression, then turn around and vote against the poor. The most of which are poor white people in terms of raw numbers, poor black people in terms of percentage of the race. And that I can't define word for it. It's almost like the politics of Herod in the Bible. It's surely not the politics of heaven. It's surely not the politics of justice. It's surely not the politics of what is right. And remember, just for the media, we even criticized the governors during the election. All the governors that came together and they spoke out against, I think, three of the amendments. But they did not clearly speak out against photo ID. But our challenge is we keep limiting the discussion. The discussion is not just did they pass photo ID, which we're going to challenge in court. We're going to challenge even how they got on the ballot in the first place. We believe the whole amendment process, that suit has already been filed by the NAACP, and we're supporting it. But the real question is, when you call every legislator in this state back to session and you have 500,000 people without health care and 4.7 million people poor and thousands of people in counties that were hit by a natural disaster, and the best you can do is pass an unnecessary and fraudulent piece of legislation. That is a misuse of your public authority and your political position. And that needs to be called out. And it needs to be reported. For Jade and for many other Jades, for all the people that my dear sister knows in the stories, and for all the people my son talked about who are still suffering. The cameras may not be in those counties anymore, but the pain is still there.
That's right. That's right.
And these legislators left their homes, left those counties, came up here, and all they can go back and tell those people are, we didn't get you into health care. We didn't raise the minimum wage so that you can make a little bit more money to recover. But we did pass you a photo ID, and that's going to help you.
Shame.
That is shameful, disgusting, and disturbing.
Yes, right.
And that is why we are so determined to raise the arguments of love and justice and morality. Yes, ma'am.
Another question that's a bit off topic. I'm wondering if you're expecting Thomas Farr to be renominated next year.
Well, he's been nominated once, and he lost back then. He's been nominated again, and he lost. I don't know what to expect from Donald Trump. I know that many of us, the Poor People's Campaign National, we worked hard against that nomination.
That's right.
We had people all over the country. We had people in this state. I know that I called, along with my co-chair, a lot of people and said why he was not just bad because of where he was on race, but he was bad across the board. You know, here we, that putting him on the bench would have been like putting the fox over the hen house. And it would have been the ultimate insult for him to be over the Eastern District, where you have the highest numbers of African-Americans in counties, and the very person who had fought for years, not just recently, for years, against the interests of African-American people, against the interests of North Carolina itself, against the democracy, would then be allowed to not only push and fight for the passing of regressive proposal, but to be the judge presiding over and making decision on those proposals. So my hope is that he won't be renominated. Rather, I would like to see him take a long vacation and think about what he's done and do like Kevin Phillips, who wrote the Southern Strategy. Kevin Phillips changed later in his life. You know, he wrote the Southern, maybe, my great prayer for Farr is that during this Christmas season, he changes, repents, and turns. I'd like to see him not be nominated again for the federal court, but to have a change of heart and come work for the NAACP and the Poor People's Campaign. I'm serious. I believe in redemption. And come work for us like George Wallace started giving money to the Negro College Fund. Anything less than that, he just needs to stop and go home. But if he doesn't, we're not going to stop.
That's
and if
right.
he does, if Trump and others do try to reappoint him or renominate him, then we're going to fight it. But I really don't believe that they're going to do that. I think McConnell is going to be in enough trouble himself trying to get reelected in Kentucky. And I think his nomination is done, and I certainly hope it is. Any others? Thank you, media. Thank you, members of the media. Anna, you have anything? We got a big watch night service coming up on the 31st. You all will hear more about it. Hope you all will come. All over the nation, a national Poor People's Campaign watch night service. But please tell this story. It's deeper than a photo ID. It's not what they did. It's what they didn't do.
That's right.
For the thousands and thousands of poor and sick people. And that is the shame of what this legislature has done and why the people of North Carolina need to expose it, need to keep fighting against it, and need to continue to stand up. We're going to do that in the street and in the courts, and we'll never turn back. God bless you. Right. Take care. Going together.
Now watch it back.
Oh, y'all. If you got a call on, I'm going to believe you can do it.